Good evening. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host for the evening, Royce White, coming to you from the Belly of the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's an honor and a pleasure to be back with you again this weekend, and we got to talk about the controversy. We can't go without discussing the controversy of the past week, and I'm going to do my best. I think I'm a voice of reason. I don't know. Maybe I'm a wingnut, too. Maybe I'm crazy. Podcast is aptly titled, Please Call Me Crazy. Catch that on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, usually when I'm not hot on the campaign trail. But I think I'm a voice of reason. I hate to see what I saw in the last week. I hate to see the divide, the growing divide on the right and the MAGA movement, or between the MAGA movement and the America First movement. On my show on Saturday mornings, I always say, Real America's Voice, headquarters of the Ultra MAGA and America First movement. How ultra MAGA it is is to be seen. I think I'm a voice of reason. I'm not your priest. I'm not your therapist. Let me be your uncle out there in the audience this evening, if I can. And first and foremost, it goes without saying, the great Alex Jones deserves our respect. And you measure a man by the things he's willing to sacrifice, and you can well measure a man by the things his enemies have tried to take away from him. How much energy and resources his enemies have put in to try and take him down. And who are his enemies? I mean, who are the people that try to take Alex Jones down? Whether what he said was right or wrong, truthful or not, is it accurate or not, all of that is secondary. The question is, what is the body of work? What is his motivation? And it's just my opinion, because I've known Alex now for a few years, and he's obviously been gracious enough to have me on the show, and never once has he tried to tell me what to say. He's not tried to interfere with what I've said on the show, and he's given me 2 hours here in the evening on Sundays for the last several weeks, and never once has he even called me and said, hey, Royce, talk about this, talk about that. Those conversations have never happened between me and Alex. If anything, I probably shoot him a text message and say, what do you think about this? Because he has had a sort of oracle, time on the public stage. You know, Alex's body of work speaks for itself, and I hate to see that this is what it's come to. I'm not shocked, because if you're an athlete in sports, every season there comes a moment on every team, most teams, the really, really good teams don't have these kinds of problems. But on most teams, I mean, 90%+ of teams have these moments, these pivotal moments as a team, where everybody just freaks out and decides it's all about them and we're going to sink the team. I mean, the winning no longer matters, you know, and if we all go up in a heap of flames, so be it. Hey, you know, this is one of those moments for us. We were calling it 4 or 5 weeks back, but this is one of those moments. It's one moment. But as a point of optimism, the game of politics never comes to an end. It's a perpetual game. So there's not going to be a time where we come to a final horn and say, oh, game's over, let's go back and assess what happened. No, the game is going to continue. No matter what goes on, the game of politics, unless we all get killed in a nuclear Holocaust. I mean, that would be brutal. But barring that, the game of politics will go on, which means nothing is final. Nobody's decisions are final. And we don't know what people are going to do in the end, which is why it's important to stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. Let your voice be heard. Let your opinions be known. I'm going to share some of mine with you this evening on the show. But the fight is not over. And, you know, we've seen the president, you know, come to blows with people before and be able to mend those fences. We'll see how this one all shakes out. Obviously, again, I'd be remiss not to say that the great Alex Jones has my utmost respect. And the president of the United States, I'm still a supporter. But we're going to iron through some of these problems, possibilities, how people feel, at least how I feel. I'm going to make some I statements tonight, how I feel. And hopefully we can chop some wood and get things on track if I have any influence whatsoever. Again, you're watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday night, InfoWars. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up
about it.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we're going to try and walk through some of these issues point by point. And we're going to get real meticulous with the detail, a little bit of nuance, because that's where the devil plays his dirtiest tricks. And again, it goes without saying. And, you know, people are saying, you know, I posted, first of all, I thought that what Dan Bongino said and what he's doing and what some of these other influencers are doing, it's blatantly obvious, to me anyway. It doesn't look genuine. And I think I can say, cause, you know, I'm on neither side. Let's talk about the issues. I'm in Minnesota. This is the belly of the beast. Minnesota's type of place where in our politics, they steal your money, they demand your vote, and then they give you gay bathhouses for reciprocity. So, I mean, we're neck deep in the belly of the beast and just the eye of the storm in terms of Minnesota. And it goes without saying, I don't see it as coincidence that the Minnesota fraud becomes the buried lead, you know, is on page 7 now. So, but I think I'm a voice of reason. I gotta say, it started weeks back, and I told General Flynn, I had a conversation with General Flynn, who endorsed me recently to run for U.S. Senate, and I only know General Flynn from being a courageous man who stood against the deep state. As best as I can tell, he's been adamantly against the deep state and in favor of the president, breaking the deep state, you know, to his viewpoint. I was talking to General Flynn, and I asked him a question. I said, ever since you endorsed me, every once in a while I get a person who says, you're a part of the Flynn Network. I said, what the hell is the Flynn Network? Sounds like a mafia or something. I don't even know what you're talking about. I've only spoken to General Flynn a handful of times, and we are mostly in alignment on most of the issues like fifth generation warfare and so on and so forth. But the point is, I saw this thread pop up a few weeks back. And it included, you know, General Flynn and Bannon and Candace and Tucker and, you know, they're all Duganists and, you know, they're Catholics and the Catholic Church isn't real and Catholicism isn't Christianity and, you know, they hate the Jews and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just thinking to myself, this doesn't look organic. It just doesn't look organic to me. You can't tell me it's organic. And if it is, then we have a bigger crisis than we have an even bigger crisis. If it's actually organic, if people are really in that place in their mind naturally and organically, we have a bigger problem, even still. So, my point being is, I don't like what Dan Bongino did. He's goofy. He's goofy. And a lot of these people are goofy. I'm just going to tell you. For me, as a, you know, a type A sort of alpha male, you know, fighter, you know, came through the grind of becoming a professional athlete, which is like, you gotta be a little psychotic, but you certainly have to be disciplined and committed, and you gotta be willing to put blood, sweat, and tears into the endeavor you're trying to accomplish. And you gotta be kind of twisted, like nothing else matters. I'm doing 1,000 pushups a night because I want to be stronger than any opponent I may come up against on the court. There's a little bit of an obsessiveness to it, but I think that's true of many, many successful people across many domains. As a dude, you know, we say, you know, is he a dude? Is he a guy or not? You know, A lot of these people are goofy to me. I'm just going to tell you. And you can say, oh, Royce, who are you to say, hey, there's a difference between real life and the internet. There's a significant difference between real life and the internet. And in real life, a lot of these guys just aren't real dudes. I'm just saying, you know, you make a comment like he made about Alex. You say, you know, Alex Jones is a liar and whatnot. And then he says, you know, he told me to lie on the show. And I just went along with it because, hey, that's what the audience wanted to hear. It's like red flags. Wait, what did you say, dude? Did you just say that Alex Jones asked you to lie and you went along with it anyway? That's more of an indictment of you than it is of him by a country mile, actually. Especially when you're now coming back making the claim that he's a liar writ large. It's just ridiculous. Some of these things are absolutely ridiculous, like Epstein killing himself. And even if he did, there are all kind of looming questions about how he was able to. I mean, if you're in the psych ward or where you're on psych watch, whatever the circumstances were, and you got that picture there with all the jumpsuits, I don't even know if that's real anymore. Maybe it was AI. Who knows what was baked into this file? Who knows? Who knows? But we do know that William Barr's father was one of Jeffrey Epstein's first employers, and he died under Attorney General William Barr's watch. And even that in and of itself is quite conspicuous looking at the details. But hey, you know, Epstein's just a distraction, right? I mean, why even talk about it anymore? There's nothing to it. There's nothing to it. It's just a distraction. Okay. Fine. If you say so, Dan and all the others. Cool. But let's try and stay grounded in reality. The American people don't take it as a hoax. They don't regard it. And I'm talking about people on both sides of the aisle. It's quite obvious that the American people are not settled on Jeffrey Epstein, nor should they be. And it's not so much about Jeffrey Epstein individually anymore as much as it's about the connective tissue of an international pedophile ring. And people are right not to let it go without good answers and clarity. And maybe there's a lot of misinformation or disinformation in the Epstein files. I'm not saying that's not possible. What I'm saying is you can't look at people who ask prudent questions about an international pedophile and what appears to be satanic sex ring trafficking, human trafficking, and go, well, why are you guys still worried about this? People are worried about it because it's worrisome. It's really worrisome that that's going on, and the level of people in power implicated. Okay, let's just say all of that stuff is fake. Let's just say, for argument's sake, all of that stuff is fake. We still have the issue of this movement and what this movement actually stands for. What's the point of it? What's the goal? How did it find success? What was the coalition based on? You know, how'd you get an RFK Jr. and a Tulsi Gabbard and a Royce White and whoever else up and down the line, people who don't come from the conventional pipeline of politics. You know, he didn't graduate from the Ivy League. It didn't come from the country club. Dad wasn't a lawyer or an attorney who, you know, did a little work for the Democrats too, but he's a fiscal conservative. You know, how did we find this coalition of new people all across the country? New people all across the country, like Angie Stan King. You know, where did we find this coalition? How did we find this coalition? What is it that people were really fighting against? What was the intuition? The intuition was, and I'll say this to kick the show off this evening, the intuition was there is a corruption that has seeped into the deepest crevices of this government. There is a metastasization of wickedness and corruption and secrecy that we all are right to find repugnant. Like President JFK once said, the very word secrecy is repugnant. Now, JFK had his own set of secrets. You know, he was a bachelor, as the record reads. I don't know. I wasn't there. But as the record reads, he's quite the ladies' man. Okay, most type A alpha males are ladies' men. Yeah, and JFK was certainly a prolific individual. He just spoke so eloquent. It's almost like hearken to our founding fathers. People don't even talk like that anymore. He was a brilliant man, to say the least, but he said some things that even transcended his own political superstardom, his own political celebrity. There were some things he said that will stand the test of time, and I think This is one of them. The very word secrecy is repugnant. Well, I think that's what the impulse of the coalition in 2024 was. We're tired of all the secrets. We're tired of the secrets. We're tired of the lies. We're tired of this scientific, managerial, academic elite ruling over us. Rules for thee, not for me. And lying to the people. People had a belly full of it. President Trump, who should have all of our respect because, and simply because, the man has marshaled the movement for 10 years and it's been on his back with plenty of help, but it's been on his back. And I just want to say, I see the thing from both sides. Let me throw this theory out there. See what sticks. You could make an argument that President Trump's duty is to, has always been to, that the beating heart of the MAGA movement is to destroy, to break the rules-based order, implemented, created, theorized, implemented by Henry Kissinger and all of his acolytes there on the international stage. The rules-based order, the post-World War II democratic liberal order, also known as the international rules-based order, shorthand, the rules-based order. You could make a significant, and I think an argument with perfect utility, that President Trump's duty, his divine appointment, is to break the rules-based order. You could make a strong argument that what we're doing there right in the Middle East right now is breaking the rules-based order. You could make the argument. And I'll just lay it out. You control the Strait of Hormuz. Like I said earlier, the game is never finished in politics, so it's always about what happens next, what the next decision is. And people's next decisions are very important and consequential. They have the ability to shape the past. It's like, well, you're vindicated if you choose these things, in a way. So we'll see what President Trump decides. But to blockade the blockade says one thing. We're escalating. And escalation in this, once we've already crossed into the fog of war, escalation in this sense does seem to put a strain on the rules-based order. And he could even take it a step further, because if he was to tell all the Southeast Asian countries, including China, nobody gets oil except through the United States. Oh, that petrodollar that Henry Kissinger, who was a Marxist and a Zionist, put into place back in the 70s is all but finished. Toast. And to destroy the petrodollar, to break the petrodollar, to break America's dependency on the Middle East and oil, but also the interconnectivity of all the other nations who are dependent on the Middle East for oil, would be a very significant blow to the international rules-based order, without a doubt. Now, I don't know how it all plays out. I could see a scenario, and I said this many weeks ago, I could see a scenario where America comes out on top. I could see a scenario where we decide we're going to take the Strait of Hormuz and we're going to couple that with Venezuela and a little bit of Canada and America's own oil production. And we're going to tell the Southeast Asian countries, you have to buy oil from America. That's it. Now, the question then becomes, does China let that slide? Because there's always this boogeyman hiding in the shadows for, you know, 10, 20 years. And I was like, well, what's China going to do? If they really want to fight us, we can't win. If they really want to, they got hypersonic missiles. They could strike us in the night from, you know, land launches in mainland China. And supersonic, hypersonic missile goes, you know, the speed of light around the globe. We couldn't even attack it. Oh, my goodness. The Chinese are coming, and they are coming, but not in the way you think. Are the Chinese going to go? I mean, this is the exact pretext of World War II, by the way. We had an oil embargo or an embargo on in Japan said, oh, wait a second. Uh-uh. That's too far. We're going right now. The question is, will China do the same thing? And we have put them in that position already. What we've done here in the Middle East and with blockading the blockade, which is already a strategic move. You know, some pieces are put in place. Some pieces fall into place. The pieces have been pushed into place now to tell China it's on. You're going to have to buy oil from us. Either you go now, or you'd be subjected to Western dominance for the foreseeable future. I mean, Belt and Road. If America controls all the oil, that would be the Belt the Ass initiative. That would be the American Western Civil Westphalian Belt to Ass initiative. And I got to say, I like it. I like it. I like it because China wouldn't even be 1/100th of what they are today without the American working class. Most of that is on our own elites who sold us out. But nonetheless, it's still true. Does China go or not? That's a question we'll have to watch play out. All that being said, I can look at the geopolitics and come up with 1,000 scenarios now that we're in the war, what we could do to have a positive outcome for the American people. And obviously that's economic. I mean, there's gotta be an economic lens to what, and maybe President Trump is that smart. Maybe President, and you know what? I thought about this the other day. Everybody's like, oh, he's doing BB's bid and he's doing Israel bid. And maybe in his head, I don't know. I wasn't a part of the intelligence briefings and so on and so forth. And it certainly does seem that Israel has way too much influence in this country. I mean, down to the grassroots level where a candidate like myself here in Minnesota is called anti-Semitic, and the entire, but a significant portion of the Bush wing in the party uses all their influence to get 200,000 Minnesota Republicans to vote for President Trump, but not Royce White. Why? He said the bad guys won World War II. I'll talk about that in the other block, because it's kind of related to what I'm saying today. Rules-based order, World War II, the bad guys won. I think President Trump agrees with me. In a way, he agrees that this rules-based order, kind of the bedrock of, is the petrodollar, right? All of the interconnected markets and energy and oil right at the beating heart of that network, that ecosystem. He's saying, we'll blow the whole thing to hell. No. NATO, Europe, all these, you guys want to pretend like America has to be locked and chained to this real politic. And he is changing the real politics, whether you agree with it or not. And certainly I think the timing of the war is questionable at best, and severely ill-timed, you know, at the worst, and maliciously timed by people who may be advising the president. But you can't say that there's not strain on the rules-based order by what's going on if we continue to apply the pressure. All oil runs through the United States of America. We're going to blockade the blockade. Nothing's going in or out without America's say so. It's pretty gangster. It's pretty gangster. I'm not going to lie. It's gangster, and it's, you know, at some point it was going to come to this. And people have to understand, as much as we don't want new wars or forever wars, there is going to be a fight. I mean, there is no signal from humanity and the superpowers that a fight isn't on the horizon. The question is, how big of a fight? You know, is it going to be asymmetric? Is it going to be biological? Is it going to be informational? Is it going to be kinetic? I mean, that's kind of the choices that we have. And we're starting to get into the kinetic phase of the Third World War, which is all just really one war. It's like World War One, World War Two, the Cold War, the Gulf War, it's the World War Three. No, it's all one war. It's just been one continuous war with brief pauses in between relative to the churnal house of human history. Will China negotiate? I mean, that's what it's going to come down to here. And I think they will. And I think where China catches the car, first, before I go there, let me say this. I could come up with 1,000 scenarios where we somehow end in an advantage position, barring some key decisions. But I still think Lindsey Graham's a fruitcake. I still think Mark Levin is obnoxious and not nearly as intelligent as people give him credit for. You know, I still think Randy Fine and a bunch of these other Israel firsters and even Bibi himself, I think all of these people are not honest. They're not even remotely honest. We shouldn't trust them. And if we were dragged into this war by them, we could come out on top. in some way and still say with good, very definitively, we don't trust these people. We don't like them. We don't trust them. We don't believe in them. We don't believe in their orientation of politics here in America, let alone geopolitics. We don't like these people. We don't trust these people. I think they're goofy. I'm just going to tell you guys, I think they're all goofy. Hey, maybe I'm in the next True Social post. I hope not. The president, I support you and I want to be helpful. And I'm in the street. I mean, I'm at that grassroots level running a statewide campaign, and I can hear what people are saying. And I was at a convention here in Congressional District 1, represented by Brad Finstad, Congressman Finstad. And he won his endorsement unopposed with flying colors. But in the room, when certain resolutions came up, and there was one that was very controversial, to say the least, there was one where a resolution was made to enter into the platform, the party platform, whether or not Israel has a right to exist. And there were a bunch of people who both who got up and spoke and clapped in opposition to that resolution. And I thought it was a very even-handed reason they gave. They said, hey, we can hold this position that Israel has the right to exist. That doesn't mean it needs to become a part of our party's platform. I thought to myself, I'm standing there watching, I'm going, wow. I mean, I thought it was going to be more, contentious than that, but it's a very reasonable explanation. It's like, hey, we can love Israel. We can like Israel. We could even find a scenario where we support Israel or continue to support Israel, even if we continue to support them in the capacity that we have in the past. But that doesn't mean we have to hitch our wagon in our party's sort of constitution and bylaws. That's a signal. The signal is people are now starting to refine the ideas and the rationality around the ideological fundamentals. It's like, what does it mean to be a country? What does it mean to be a party? Don't like Lindsey Graham. Nobody's going to get me to like Lindsey Graham. He doesn't even have my respect on face value. Like, he doesn't even pass the man sniff test. He doesn't. I'm just keeping it real with you guys. Come on, guys. What are we talking about? Are seriously? Is this even a real thing? Sometimes I wake up and I go, man, am I living in the Truman Show or what? How is this guy even a United States senator? Seriously. He doesn't even pass the eye test. And it's a lot of these guys. I'm just going to tell you. I mean, if we want that Pax Americana, we want to be a global dollar empire, a badass global dollar empire, I think we need some better representatives. I'm just saying. I mean, 93 retention rate. We have a 93 incumbent retention rate going up, increasing by 1% since 2020 every year. And 2020 was 93, and 2022 was 94, and 2024 was 95. We're working our way up to 100% incumbent retention. And then everybody wants to complain, like, the country has problems. No shit, the country has problems. You keep voting in the same fruitcakes every time, every election. It's like, which fruitcake are we going to vote back in this time, guys? I'm just saying, I'm never going to be on board with Lindsey Graham. He's a warmongering neocon, and I think he's Amy Klobuchar's CIA handler, if I'm being honest. But hey, don't shoot. I mean, I'm just a dumb Negro from the neighborhood. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on the other side. We're talking more rules-based order and the many scenarios that could play out here. We'll be right back.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades. So they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research. The human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Again, trying to be the voice of reason this Sunday. We hate to see all of the tension in the MAGA and America First movement. I think we just got to have some thicker skin. We're in the middle of a range war. Who the hell knows what else? I mean, I could see a scenario, and I laid that out. I could see a scenario where blowing up the oil infrastructure of the entire Middle East oil industry is a significant and maybe death blow to the petrodollar and the rules-based order that Henry Kissinger instituted so many generations ago. You could also see a scenario where President Trump cut a deal with the Gucci Bedouins to bring their money, you know, their gains to America and invest in America because they already knew they were going to blow all this shit up. And they said, and they told the Gucci Bedouins, hey, you come invest your cash with us or you're going to end up with nothing. And, you know, I'm just saying there are a bunch of things that could be going. I don't know. How do I know what's going on? Really? We don't know. But what it appears to me is that President Trump is breaking the rules-based order, but he's bringing in the technocracy. And I just get this sense. I'm 35 years old on the 10th on Friday, 35 years old, now eligible to run for president, by the way. We'll get the U.S. Senate first. But it's President Trump's duty to break the rules-based order because that was like the beating heart of the MAGA movement. the working class, the American working class has propped up the entire world's security since after World War II. We've gotten a shitty deal, terrible deal. Our currency has been inflated, deflated, crushed, devalued, and everything else in between. Because of this rules-based order, you know, what you would call globalism, the globalist agenda. President Trump could, in fact, the crowning jewel of President Trump's legacy is hanging in the balance right now. He could, in fact, deal a death blow to the rules-based order. But we've already started to bring in the technocracy. I contend that it's on my generation to break the technocracy, not President Trump. It's on me. It's on me and the fishbacks and all these other candidates who are of the younger generation in America to fight, to inform, to educate, and eventually break the technocracy. That's not on President Trump. And you could see a scenario where they may have come to him. Maybe they, you know, they pressured him and said, you know, hey, we'll give you, we'll let America run things. But you're going to let us bring this technocracy in. The technocracy will, and look, it's the AI, it's the nuclear, it's the data centers. It's scary as hell. We're going to let robots teach kids. But even that, and I just have to be honest, even that, you put that on President Trump, you got to take a look in the mirror. We all love our iPhones. We all love the Apple updates. We all love being on the grid. The grid is fun. The grid is great. The grid is more convenient than ever. We love it. We love the connectivity. We love social media. We love porn. We love, you know, being able to FaceTime, you know, my girlfriend, she's on a vacation, a girl's trip down to Miami. She's probably cheating on me, but you know, that's another story for another day. We love it. We love all of it. We love being able to get our, you know, packages brought right to our front door. It's great. And there is some utility to it. I'm not going to say that it's not convenient. But it comes with a cost. And I had a gentleman come up to me, a Catholic gentleman come up to me at the Republican event this weekend. And he asked me about porn and the morality of porn. And he says, would you be in favor of restricting pornography? And I said, well, it matters how. I said, if it comes attached to a digital ID or social credit score, my definitive answer is no. And so we got into this entire philosophical argument about what's the chronological, sequential, or hierarchical nature of priorities when it comes to the law or government? You know, is it the moral or is it liberty? Because you can have liberty liberty can be immoral. Freedom can be immoral. Government regulation can also be immoral. But if you had everything you wanted, which one would come first? Obviously, the moral would come first. But when it can, or if it can, and in this case, in our country today, in our culture today, the moral can't come first because we're so immoral. Will we substitute our liberty for security, even the security, a false sense of security, that we're improving the moral? These are just very, significant questions we have to answer as a culture. It's like, I'm not willing to give the government unlimited surveillance, take a digital ID to eradicate pornography. And maybe you feel the opposite. Maybe you feel that people should live under a fair degree of surveillance and a restriction of their freedom of movement and their freedom of speech and their freedom of expression and everything else in between in order to correct the moral. See, that's just the arguments that we're going to have. And those are the real arguments, right? So even Israel is, you know, Israel, Bibi Netanyahu. I'm more like, let's talk about the fundamentals. But hey, I get it. Because even there's a little bit of fundamental in these conversations about foreign policy. Certainly, that's another part of the MAGA movement. Another strong pillar of the MAGA movement was a repudiation of foreign policy, at least trade, but certainly NATO and the Europeans who seem not to want to fight or contribute in the Middle East. All of the energy implications really fall back on them. These things are somewhat fundamental. And even the fundamental question is like, where do your loyalties lie? Do they lie with America or Israel? I saw a clip and it was of Laura Loomer. I know Laura Loomer. I've known her for many years. Since 2022, I was first introduced to her and she was running for Congress. I was running for Congress. There was a young cohort of candidates all across the country connected by people who, you know, want to support. And I've known Laura Loomer for a while. I've always liked Laura personally, disagree with some of her points of view, and I've communicated that to her. I said, hey, Laura, I think you're dead wrong on this. I think you're dead wrong on that. She's always been nice in responding and said, hey, you know, this is where I'm at on this issue. Never been disrespectful, like, hey, you're stupid, you know, ignorant fool. She's like, nah, this is what I think. So she's much more reasonable behind the scenes than she comes across on the internet, which is true of a lot of people, most of us, right? Just some of this is entertainment. But the ideas are fundamental, and they should be real. Point being, I saw a clip of Laura and her, I think it was her and Randy Fine, and they made the argument that people who are opposed to dual citizenship are only saying it because they oppose Jews having dual citizenship with Israel. And I found that to be kind of personally offensive, because I am in a staunch opposition of all dual citizenship, all dual citizenship. And it's not specifically about Jews or Israel. I feel the same way about dual citizenship with the UK, with China, with Japan, with Ghana, South Africa, wherever. The dual citizenship should come to a screeching halt. Same way I feel about birthright citizenship in the Dignity Act. You know, it's like, is it amnesty or not? It depends on how we do it. Number one, dual citizenship out. It's not just about the Jews or Israel. Now, if there was a preponderance of dual citizenship individuals from a specific country in government or in key positions all across the most important domains or sectors of our society, then it's right for people to ask questions about their loyalty. That's not anti-Semitic. Come on. You know, if President Barack Obama was elected again in some, you know, okay, let's use Jasmine Crockett. Jasmine Unbelievable Crockett. If Jasmine Crockett becomes president and she hired all HBCU graduates to key positions across the government, and then you saw like a proliferation of HBCU black graduates to come from this, you know, this one school, Morehouse. Don't mean to pick on you, Morehouse, but I'm just, you know, it's just an example. Anyone would do. Then all of a sudden you look up and people are like, whoa, all of these black graduates, all these black women graduates from Morehouse are getting key strategic positions across all these, you know, sectors of society. What's going on there? It's not racist. That's like, what's going on there? And even furthermore, is that a good thing? Is that okay? Is that good for our country? Now, even there, it's a little different, because if black women were DEI selected to key positions across multiple sectors of society, they would at least still be American citizens, depending on, you know, how you look at it. If you're a communist, you're a communist. I mean, you could be an American, you could be an Israeli, you could be a Chinese, you could be Russian, you could be anything in between. If you're a communist, you're a communist. Your citizenship starts to become secondary, in my opinion, but I'm a little radical. At least in the theory, those, you know, DEI black women would be American citizens. If they were from Russia, we would have a problem with it. If they were from South America, if they were from Turkey, if they were from India, if they were from Israel, we have a problem with dual citizenship. Period, point blank, full stop. There shouldn't be any dual citizenship. I just don't believe in it. And it's, you know, apropos of this birthright citizenship, like, these are the real issues. Birthright citizenship. And you can never take anything the left says, but with a grain of salt. Every issue, they will morph and change. They'll become, you know, pro-constitution. They'll become, you know, pro-sanctity of life. They'll become whatever they need to be to play the cards that they have to get their agenda through, and to win the court of public opinion to justify stolen elections. That's what the left is good at. That's what the communists and the Marxists are great at. How do I know? I came up in a Marxist and communist neighborhood. I know what the philosophy is. I know what the strategy is. They lie. They'll lie. They'll become anybody they need to. They're chameleonic. They'll dress up like a woman to make it into a woman's bathroom. And, you know, this is who they are. It's not coincidence, right? Birthright citizenship, perfect example. Anytime the Second Amendment comes up, they're willing to amend and change the scope of the constitutional law. They're willing to reinterpret the Constitution to change the Second Amendment. to restrict your gun rights, which is a great tale. Because it's like, if you're so worried about fascism and tyranny or totalitarianism and President Trump being the second iteration of Adolf Hitler, why would you tell American citizens to give their guns up? That's dumb. I mean, I know, and here's the dark part. I don't think that's them being completely dishonest. I think there is a significant thread of people on the left who would like to bring about, who would like to see a totalitarian fascist dictatorship truly come about in this country so they could play the victim, secular humanist martyr in that political reality. And that's why they're willing to give their guns up. I mean, they really want to be the Palestine open air prison where they're throwing rocks at the tanks. I don't know. Maybe they think that's romantic or a righteous way to die. It may be righteous for a Palestinian, and I'm not making a claim about Palestine, but I'm just saying it may be righteous for somebody who was genuinely, stripped of their gun rights. But if you forfeit your gun rights to fulfill the role, to do some sort of weird method acting as a far left leaning social justice martyr, there's no glory in that. You're just a cuck. You're a punk. You're a coward is what you are. You're weird. You're weird, but you're also a punk and a cuck. And we're just not going to do it. We're not going to budge on the Second Amendment at all, or we shouldn't at least. Birthright citizenship, far different. See, and this is where conservatives get into this intellectual highbrow back and forth. Stay with me here. This is where conservatives have either played the control opposition or we ourselves suffer from real lack of testicular fortitude. We want to get into this intellectual highbrow back and forth. We want to keep the Constitution. The Constitution can't be, we want to play all sides at once. It's become a plague in this movement, in this party. No, it's not that the Constitution can't be amended. It's what we're amending and why. This is the distinction to make. The very reasonable and logical distinction is the Constitution was always intended to be amended. The question is what amendments and why? What things are fundamental, more fundamental in the hierarchy of priority and the hierarchy of citizenship and freedom and liberty, the things that are spelled out in our founding documents, which things are more important than others? The right to bear arms shall not be infringed for a reason, because we have in the back of our mind a genetic and historical memory of tyranny. We know that tyranny is always right around the corner. We don't know if it's coming from the left, from the right, from the top, from the bottom. We don't know where the tyranny is coming from, but it's always right there. And that's why the Second Amendment shall not be infringed upon. Apropos to what's going on in Iran. Hey, we thought the Iranians were going to rise up and throw off the mullahs. And then we looked up and remembered, shit, they don't have any guns. How are they going to do that? The Iranian people are like, we may have wanted to revolt, but we don't have any guns. That's what we, now we're, there's reports that we're dropping off crates of guns to the Iranians to try. Well, why didn't we help? I mean, the trade, all of these countries, I don't think there are many countries that are part of the post-World War II Democrat liberal order that we have, given a suppository of Second Amendment laws. Just look across the board. All of the countries that we subsidize all around the world, show me a handful of them that have a firm and strong Second Amendment. Not many. And I don't think it's by accident that we didn't make the Second Amendment a priority as we went around the world and built nations. I just don't see that as coincidence. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist. It's possible. But I do not think people who were as smart to create the real politics of the petrodollar overlooked the importance of the Second Amendment. I mean, if you believe that, then, you know, God bless you. God bless you. And maybe all of us here on InfoWars, maybe we're just the conspiracy theorist types, right? But come on. I mean, it's like you can build an atom bomb. You can send a man to the moon. We're going to go to Mars next. Real politics has everybody connected to a petrodollar world financial system, but you couldn't give the countries guns that would actually make them self-determining on a fundamental level. That dog don't hunt, as my grandfather used to say. That dog just don't hunt. Birthright citizenship, much more negotiable than the Second Amendment, especially when a recent president of the United States let in 15 million illegal foreign invaders. That would be the relative, the time relative justification to amend all matters regarding immigration or foreign invaders because of the crisis. Well, the left doesn't see that as a crisis, so of course that wouldn't bear any weight on the birthright citizenship issue, which we should just disregard. We don't even have to argue about it. You people are stupid. You don't believe in having a country. You don't believe in a border. I know it makes us feel, you know, it makes us feel vulnerable because it may actually be that over 50% of this country truly believes we shouldn't have a border. That makes us scared. We're afraid. We're afraid because of the heresy of democracy. Heresy. I've said it on the show many times. If you listened, you've heard me say it before. I'm writing a book now. The Four Heresies of the West. Scientific method, democracy, computer technology, artificial intelligence. Why? When you say heresies of the West, what do you mean, Royce? Why do you call them heresies? They all, each one individually was an attempt for man to bridge the gap between himself and God. It's heresy. Heretics. The scientific method ain't gonna bridge the gap between us and God. Democracy sure as hell isn't. Computer technology's only gonna make it worse. It's only gonna make us ruminate on the fact that we can't be God. And artificial intelligence is gonna become a God for us, but not a God of the universe. Okay? Doesn't work. Not only is it heresy, it's ineffective. Right? Democracy. The heresy of democracy is to believe that all majorities are made equal and righteous. They're not. All majorities are not equal, and they sure as hell aren't righteous. But we're obsessed with democracy. This is the top issue. When you poll Democrats right now in Minnesota, you ask people on the left, what are your top issues? The threat to democracy. It's like, democracy is the threat to democracy. Democracy is the real threat to democracy. Democrats and the Democratic Party is the real threat to democracy. You 60%, let's just say 60%, we're going to throw you over there. Maybe there's a 20% we can shave off that will see the logic that we shouldn't put men in women's prisons. Maybe. But yeah, push comes to shove. Hey, the porn is good. The drugs and the video games are good. Like Yuval Noah Harari said, it's all good. It's all good. You know, do as thou wilt. So anything's permitted when you don't have God at the center of your worldview. Anything's permitted. There are no rules. The rules are there are no rules. We have a rules-based order, an international rules-based order, but the real rule is there are no rules. Birthright citizenship. The Dignity Act. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I say, if I was in the Senate right now, I'd say you need a 10-year moratorium on all immigration. All of it. Okay, we want to limit the scope of the, first of all, I don't like when they say there's no way we're getting out 25 million illegal immigrants. Well, what's the low number then? Don't give me the high number and clump it all in. What's the low number? Cause we sure as hell are getting out the 10 to 15 million that came in under the Joe Biden administration. That's non-negotiable. The 10 to 15 million have to go, or at least every last one of them we can possibly get. The aim has to, the mission objective, the mission parameters have to be, we're starting off at 15 million. If we want to limit the scope just to the Joe Biden administration, I understand that. I don't agree in principle, but I agree as a matter of practical application. Sure. Let's limit the scope to the 15 that came in under Joe Biden's administration. Fine. But it is 15 million, and we're going to be getting out the 15 million. And if you say that there's a four-year window, you're already, you know, if you've been here for 4 years, more than 4 or 5 years, then you have legal status and there are all these things you can do, all these check marks to find a path to citizenship. You know, in principle, I don't agree, but we have to get out the 10 to 15 million illegal foreign invaders. We just have to do it. Almost whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, we got to get those people out. A way to actually put some teeth to this Dignity Act would be, we need a 10-year moratorium. While we are committed to and make a priority of getting all of these illegal foreign invaders out, or as many as we can, the 10 to 15 million, we need a 10-year moratorium on immigration. And I think the number should be 10 years. If you've been here longer than 10 years, will grant you if you haven't committed a crime or fraud, right? Fraud, any of these things up and down the line will give you a legal status and lay out a path for you to become a citizen. You've been here longer than 10 years, not five, 10. Coincide 10-year moratorium on all immigration. That's what I would say. But we're not in agreement on that. We're not even close. We're not even close. There are people who just say, we can't get out 25 million illegal immigrants. We got to find a way to keep them, to assimilate them. So how the hell is that working out here in Minneapolis? Is that work? Is America's immigration system a shining paragon of assimilation and effectiveness? No, it's not, because the people who oversee the immigration don't value American citizenship or culture. They don't even want us to have a country. So why would they place any premium whatsoever on ensuring that people actually assimilate when they immigrate? They're not going to do it. You know, birthright citizenship, letting a million tourism visa Chinese nationals get citizenship is just another way for them to circumvent us having a border, and we all know it. Birthright citizenship. It's all connected, though. I say that, and people kind of like, oh, no, you're tight. That's a reach. It's not a reach. It's all connected. It's all connected. The global affects the local and vice versa. We have a crisis of national identity and culture. The reason why we believe in fighting a war a world away is because the entire bedrock of American identity is to project strength, power all around the world. That's become our default. That's the default of not freedom and liberty and the rule of law profound intellectual insight. None of those things have any real punch for the American identity and culture anymore. It's all based on if we can continue to be the global dollar empire we've been. And again, I said it, President Trump makes a few key decisions here. He could deliver a death blow to the rules-based order. Or maybe we just are doing Israel's bidding. I don't know. Time will tell. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I hope you're enjoying the show this evening. I hope I'm not being too crazy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment.
In a world where globalists, depopulationists, principalities, and powers of the air have been adding, spraying, and inundating humans with heavy metals, chemicals, and toxins, TheAlexJonesStore.com would like to introduce a new way to remove them from your body from the inside out. Introducing Zeolite. Zeolites are a group of crystal-like porous minerals that are found where molten stone meets water. From the Greek zeo, to boil, and lithos, or light, meaning stone, this unique network of tiny little holes and channels found in zeolite absorb and remove harmful substances like heavy metals, chemicals, and other toxins. So don't delay. Start the process of removing unwanted toxins from your body and put some skin in the game of the info war today by going to TheAlexJonesStore.com and picking up a bottle of zeolite.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at @RealAlexJones and at @AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Thank you.
to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, the Belly of the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You got me for another hour here, and at the top of the hour, again, I want to say Alex Jones has my respect. My respect and love. The man sacrificed a lot, and he's told the truth when it was very, very unpopular and inconvenient. Can people make mistakes? Is it okay for people to make mistakes anymore? I make mistakes all the time. Everybody makes mistakes. Is it okay to make mistakes? It's like we forget how easy it is to make mistakes when we find it convenient to pounce on one person for saying something that inconveniences us. It's just like they do the same thing to President Trump. And that's what I say. I of everything that disappoints me, you know, is some of the terminology that was used in that Truth Media, Truth Social post. And I do think that it's right for us to separate Tucker, Candace, and Megan from Alex Jones just as a matter of sequential, posterity, you know, because, you know, when President Trump came down the escalator in 2016, Tucker, Candace, and Megan were in very different places. Megan's on Fox News, Candace still bouncing around TPUSA and, you know, Conservative Inc. And Tucker was on Fox himself. So, you know, the president can rightfully say that his fight predates those three. That's not to say who's right or wrong on any given issue. So Israel, I mean, you know, it is what it is. Let's just say it. Not to say who's right or wrong on the particulars and details of any individual issue, but he can say rightfully so, hey, my fight predates you guys' fight against the deep state and the globalists and even the mainstream Republican establishment. You can't say the same thing for Alex Jones. Let's just look at the record. The record speaks for itself. I'm 35 on Friday. Alex Jones started doing this when I was 6 years old. I was six. I'm a full grown man with a beard. I got grays in my beard. I talked about in my podcast on Friday, reflecting back on turning 35. And, you know, now birthdays are much more about gratitude and reflection than they are celebration. But you go from being a kid with no teeth to a man with gray in his beard. It's just, you know, time is so precious and such a blessing, such a miracle. You can't discredit time. It's not everything, but it's certainly not nothing. And Alex Jones was doing this when I was 6 years old. So his fight and what he's contributed even predates the president in many regards and in most measurable regards. So in this is very similar in the sense that, you know, when I get a call from a New York Times or Mother Jones or The Guardian or Washington Post, you know, what do you make of this conspiracy theory President Trump continues to posit about the 2020 election being rigged? And I laugh in their face. I go, you think that's a conspiracy theory? No, I think it's a conspiracy. I think it was a conspiracy for sure, but not a conspiracy theory. So to then call Alex a conspiracy theorist or what, and you know what, when I looked at the Truth Social post, my first instinct was the president didn't write this. I'm just being honest. Maybe he did. I can't speak for him, but my first instinct was he didn't write that. Just telling you guys my honest, you know, the way that I go about it, he maybe did, maybe didn't. I don't know, but my first instinct was it doesn't pass the sniff test. It's like, even at the break, and we were talking about in the studios, like the French first lady's more beautiful than Candace Owens. Like, I've never spoken to Candace Owens, never been on her show. She's never been on mine. I've never met her. I don't agree with everything she says because I don't agree with everything anybody says except Christ and the gospel. But, I don't know Candace Owens at all, and I don't agree with everything she says, but I can definitively say that she's 100 times more beautiful than the French first lady. And it's not even close. It's like, what world are we? What are we doing? What are we doing here? Can we get back to the security of our elections, please? Please, people, can we please find a reprieve in here to get back to the security of our elections? Maybe I'm crazy. If you think so, just drop in the comments. Say, Royce White, you are batshit crazy wingnut to say that we should get back to the security elections other than propping up the beauty of the French first lady. Go ahead. Fine. We'll be right back on the other side of a brief break. Stay tuned for more.
what's this? Oh, I've got Power Plant. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm honored to be back again this Sunday. I see the dam is cracking in terms of the movement, and we are burning daylight. You know, it's one of those moments where you just wish you could get everybody in the room and say, okay, let's just hash this shit out right here, right now. You know, let's just hash it out and let's get organized here. It's like, cause I still don't even know if we should be voting early or voting same day paper ballots. So people are already early voting. And then you got a Finocchio that's leading the entire voter initiative. He's telling people vote early. The great Mike Lindell, who's running for governor here, is like, these machines are, we gotta flood the system on game day. We're not even set about that. Now you could say, hey, don't telegraph to your enemies what you're going to do, what your game plan is. You know, you hit them with a little helter skelter. Okay, cool. Fine. Then the entire thing is decentralized. Then we don't have a movement. We are a rebellion. You know, the MAGA movement, the America First movement is not a political organization. It's a decentralized rebellion. And if that's the case, then this starts to make a little more sense. And maybe God, you know, God, everything works God's to the good of God's design. Maybe that's some of what we're seeing here. You know, maybe President Trump doesn't even realize that he's breaking the rules-based order. Maybe a lot of us don't. Maybe Israel doesn't realize. Maybe Israel thinks they're getting and maybe they are. Maybe Israel ends up with the Middle East concession. Maybe they end up with the entire Middle East as a concession in this whole deal. I don't know what happens. I don't know. But I do know the petrodollar is the cornerstone of the rules-based order. And to break the Middle East of its oil industry and the would effectively be the final blow to the rules-based order, which is what the entire mainstream media is saying right now. If you read the fine, you know, between the lines, read the fine prints, MSNBC, Axios, all these other places, blockade, and the blockade is like a nuclear strike almost to the rules-based order. And praise be to God, because the rules-based order is corrupt, and NATO is the number one tool of the rules-based order. We don't need to be defending Finocchio Europeans who don't want to defend themselves and give their continent to Muhammad or Muslims or Allah or whoever else, communists, China, whoever. I mean, it's open season there in Europe. But it's really close to being open season here too, right? I mean, we're right on a razor's edge. And can we just get back to the security of elections? It's like, can that be our focus? Am I crazy? I'm running for United States Senate, and I hope I we'll see how endorsements play out. You got Michelle Tafoya, who's a world-class rhino, and maybe she gets endorsed now. I mean, if Lindsey Graham's getting endorsed, Michelle Tafoya's probably next, right? And then it's like, okay, now what? Now what do we do? It's like, we do what Ken Paxton did, right? It's like, we're running, okay? We're running. Love you. You know we do, but we're running. And the reason we're running is because we can in good conscience stand next to people who in the most recent presidential cycle begged President Trump, do not run. Again, that's what I want to say. I almost forgot. I'd be remiss as a United States Senate candidate who's run a statewide campaign in the state of Minnesota, which is the cultural epicenter of American politics. I'd be remiss not to tell the president And some of the people around him who I do like but have a difference of opinion about certain issues, I'd be remiss not to ask the basic question. Why is there all this preferential treatment of these people in this wing of the party that is on the record? And I mean, came to me personally and said, do not take President Trump's literature to the doors in Minnesota. They whipped for Nikki Haley. They said, don't bring President Trump's literature. Don't hitch your wagon to President Trump. Don't put President Trump on your mobile billboard. What do you think? And President Trump's not palatable in Minnesota. Then they knife me in the back. Knife me in the back. And, you know, they, you know, the four horsemen of the Minnesota Republican constabulary are four sitting Congress members, Finstad, Stauber, Fischbach, and Tom Emmer, who all claim to be pro-life, by the way, but haven't made one oppositional comment to running a pro-choice Michelle Tafoya. I guess they call themselves pro-life incrementalists or whatever it is. In the Catholic Church, we may have a problem with pedophilia and a fake pope, but we don't have any problems with pro-life. The four horsemen here in Minnesota refused to endorse me when it was just me and Amy Klobuchar left. I mean, doesn't that kind of tell you the whole deal? Honestly, and I don't mean to make it personal or make it be about me, because it's not about me. I'm just giving you information. The four sitting Republican Congress members in Minnesota refused to endorse me when it was just me and Amy Klobuchar left. So you come up with a thousand different reasons. You say, oh, wow, it was hurt their brand. No, it doesn't hurt their brand in their district. Their district's more ultra-MAGA than they are. They have to worry about being outflanked from the right in their respective districts because people in Michelle Fischbach's district and in Michelle Fischbach's district specifically are very discontent with Michelle Fischbach's politics. So they have to be worried about being outflanked from the right. They don't have to worry about Tom Emmer has no fear whatsoever that being too far right is going to make him vulnerable in Congressional District 6. Not even close. Not even remotely close. So then you ask yourself, why? Why would they not endorse the Republican endorsed nominee, especially as articulate and, you know, intelligent and strapping young fellow like myself? Why would they not endorse me when it's just me and Cookie Bake Amy? I don't know. You guys answer it. You guys answer the question. I'll let you decide. You know, maybe it's because I'm such a dumb, crazy, conspiratorial Negro and they just can't be associated with me. That's perfectly possible. I don't know. I'm on here 2 hours every weekend and the only reviews we've gotten is like, man, Royce, you're really a voice of reason. Thank you. We appreciate it. I get people all the time come up to me now and they say, man, I had a guy come up to me at my mother's job. I won't say where she works, but anyway, there's a guy randomly comes up to me. He's got his phone up to his ear and he taps me on the shoulder. He goes, I'm listening to you right now on InfoWars. Right. So, you know, Alex has a really big audience and reach for good reason. He's been in it a long time and a lot of loyal people to the show. And I get to benefit from him allowing me to do this on Sundays. But my point is I'm here on Sundays, 2 hours, no script, no notes. You know, you see here, this, by the way, is, I keep this on my desk. This is the National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism from June 2021. National Security Council, the Joe Biden administration. This is the only piece of paper we even have on the desk that, you know, the founder's Bible here. I take a peek on in it every once in a while, but it's more for decoration. And then we got the President Trump cereal box. There's some President Trump cornflakes here, but there are no notes. Am I crazy? Am I a conspiracy theorist? Is anything I'm saying today here on the show or the past several weeks crazy? I don't think so. So again, why do the Tom Emmer, Fischbach, Finstad, and Pete Stauber of the world of the Republican Party not endorse the nominees from their own party when it's just them and the radical Democrats they say they are diametrically opposed to and are fighting tooth and nail to save this country? These are questions that we have to answer. We just have to answer. And with all due respect, Mr. President, I said this the other day on a Spaces on X. I still believe in the president. I still believe that the president is the greatest shot that we have to win or at least to move the football up the field, along with the help from people like Alex Jones and everybody else up and down the line. We got to have a renaissance of the message and the ideas, and we got to have it on the fly, right? Because this plane is going down. So we gotta, you know, fix a couple engines here on the fly. But I still support the president, but I'd be remiss not to say at some point here, if I walk up to a man and he's standing in a cornfield and it's, you know, burning up all around him, he's got two buckets of water that are full, I start to think, did you set this fire? Or you don't, at the very least, you don't mind watching the cornfield burn. And that's the point I was making about the rules-based order. Everybody's gung-ho about, you know, Israel wanting us to do this and whether we're doing it for Israel. Well, two things could be true. Israel may want us to do it, and they may see it as beneficial for us to do it, but there still be a much greater agenda. An agenda, in fact, that isn't actually so nice to Israel. And I think the Israelis are starting to figure that out. It's like, NATO, you're not showing up. You know, we're going to do a blockade on the blockade, Strait of Hormuz. I think Israel's starting to figure out that there's a scenario in here where Darth Vader throws the emperor down the shaft and they're getting a little uncomfortable with them. So they're getting a little skittish themselves. Even with the ceasefire, it's like, you know, who knows where these, you know, these bombs that hit Tel Aviv, these cluster bombs that hit Tel Aviv, who knows where they came from? I mean, really, come on. We do know that false flags are real. If we're going to dismiss false flags altogether out of hand, we're not being honest with ourselves, let alone each other. So I don't know what's happening for sure. I can't say for sure, but I can say that the very word secrecy is repugnant, and it's not a sign of disloyalty that people are alarmed because shit got so bad and crazy. And we all know the agenda's still in motion. We know from the lack of prosecutions. We know from the lack of people who have been brought to justice, who have perpetuated the managed decline of our great nation. We know from the lack of accountability that has taken place, the agenda's still in motion. You know, whether it's stalled or delayed or, you know, it's regrouping or reorganizing, whatever the case may be, we do know definitively that the purveyors of the agenda to kill this country are out there. So the agenda is still in motion. If that's the case, you can't be, you just can't be mad at people who are alarmed. You can't be mad at people who look at the situation and go, shit, we got to do something and we got to do something now. I mean, we're 6 months away from the midterms. Now, if the elections don't matter anymore and we're never going to give this government back to the communists, hey, I'm all for it. Honestly, if that's how we're going to do business, then let's do business that way. I'm all for it. You're not going to hear any complaints from me. If we make a decision, a patriotic decision in this country that we will never give the government back to these communists, I am perfectly fine with it. Now, all those out there who say, oh, Royce is a plant. Royce isn't working for the, oh, Royce, you're a leftist. Oh, you're a Marxist, Mark Levin. Oh, you're a Marxist jihadist. No, I'm a Catholic. Okay, sir. I know Christ. Ask yourself, do you? I'm further to the right than most of these people. It's because, you know, you talk about constitutional crisis, and I remember we were discussing Trump 2028 and then the constitutional justification to circumvent the two terms and all these different things. And there were these Republicans, and I'm not talking the Massey wing of the Republican Party. I mean, mainline Republicans scoffed at it here in Minnesota. They scoffed. They went, oh, man, there's no way he's going to get a third term. That would be bad for the country. Same people who said Amy Klobuchar's great for Minnesota. And I kind of tipped my hat earlier. I said, I think Lindsey Graham, it's just ridiculous that his name is Lindsey too, right? Not only is he a little squishy and effeminate, but his name is Lindsey. It's like, watch what you name your sons, right? You know, you got to be careful with what you name your sons, okay? Names kind of, you know, carry some spiritual weight, in my opinion. It's like my son's name is Benjamin, the anti-Semite that I am. Benjamin, my son, right? Royce, right? Future Lincoln, right? I mean, names have weight. Lindsay, fruitcake. I do think that Lindsay is Amy Klobuchar's CIA handler. That's just my opinion. Just an opinion. I don't know it to be a fact, because how could I? I just get the sense when I see Lindsey Graham and Amy Klobuchar and a couple of Parkas there in Ukraine, you know, promulgating a war, I think to myself, CIA, right? And we haven't got much clarity about what all went down there with Ukraine and Russia anyway, and I surely would like some of that secrecy to be uncovered. It's like, what the hell actually happened there in Russia and Ukraine? Let's get back to that. Let's talk about that again. What the heck went on there? How did we... clarity, we can't talk about it because we know dirty hands. Anyway, I'm sorry. I go off on these tangents. I'm sorry. Point being, these Republicans do not support President Trump, or at least... I don't know. Maybe they've been given a green light to you know, go about politics in their respective districts the way that they see fit in order to win, because winning is the only thing that's important. But we find ourselves on a slippery slope here and a clock where if we don't change some hearts and minds, we know the momentum of American culture as it stands today will inevitably bend in the arc of technology and convenience. The arc will bend in the direction of technology and convenience. We know that. We know it now. It's like, if we never want to give the government back to communists, I'm with you. If we say it doesn't matter how we win, I can't agree with that. I can't agree with winning by lying anymore. We can't lie to win. You can't lie your way to heaven. You can't lie your way to Christ. At some point, you gotta dig deep and just go, hey, whoa, we got to tell the American people the truth. See, the very word secrecy is repugnant. And there is some level of things that need to stay classified because we are always at war. And I do agree we are always at war. Now, how many trillions of dollars we need to let the Department of War, formerly the Department of Defense, lose to be at war all the time? That's for the American people to decide. And it really disgusts me. The number doesn't come up more often. Department of Defense, when your government loses $2 trillion, when your government steals $2 trillion, I mean, let's just call it what it is. Don't tell me it went missing. It didn't go missing. Okay. You don't misplace $2 trillion, not even on paper, not even on computers. You don't just misplace $2 trillion. You don't misplace $20 billion here in Minnesota. It's not you know, incompetence. It's foreign policy. They funneled money to Al-Shabaab. I mean, what are we talking about? It's obvious. It's obvious, guys. People are just stealing your money, Minnesotans. I know I'm on Alex Jones, the Alex Jones Show, and we're the crazy InfoWar conspiracy theorists, but when $20 billion goes missing, it's not incompetence. It's not a coincidence. Somebody's getting paid, and it ain't you. When $2 trillion goes missing, some foreign leaders got whacked. Some people got black bags. People got tagged in bags. Some unmanned aerial vehicles. Some UAVs, some things happened with $2 trillion. When $2 trillion goes missing, some things went down. When your government steals, everybody's stealing. When your government steals, everybody's stealing. There is a level of secrecy that's acceptable. This ain't it. It is incumbent upon our leaders, President Donald Trump, the administration, to, you know, huddle up. Let's get our messaging right. And I mean, we got to be razor sharp because the momentum is against us. It's not a personal attack. I don't mean it, say it to be offensive. I'm talking to people out in the street, you know, and I know what's important to them. And I know what is, you know, what at least for them is at the top of their mind is like democracy. We have to protect our democracy, you know, and it's like, affordability. And then it's like, you know, every once in a while you get somebody who goes, I don't want to be in a war in Israel for Israel in the Middle East. Right. So there are these top ish, and you could say, hey, whether or not it's going to make you popular is secondary. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. I understand that. I'm with you. I'm with you. Abraham Lincoln suspends habeas corpus because he feels he has the moral and spiritual high ground to preserve the country and the Union by defeating the Confederate Army. You could argue whether or not that's true, but he had the stones to do it. I'm with you. I know you got to make tough decisions sometimes. The question becomes, do you have the moral and righteous high ground? Because that is very important if you're going to make those kind of calls. And I just find it to be concerning that we would wage a holy war in the name of Christ with a bunch of people who don't believe in him. I mean, maybe that's just me, but I kind of get the sense that we should be very slow to wage a war in the name of Christ, wrap ourselves in the cloth of Christ with people who openly reject him. I'm not talking about people who never knew Christ, who are just being introduced. I'm talking about people who have a lifelong theology of rejecting Christ. Should be very slow to wage a war, wrapping ourselves in the cloth of Christ with people like this, in my opinion. Just my opinion. And also, because the momentum of secrecy in this country is built up to a point where people are rightfully skeptical of everything they see. And that's part of the problem we're having on the right. People on, even on the right, even in the MAGA movement, are rightfully skeptical of everything they see, because we know we've been lied to every which way, you know, three ways to Sunday. We know we've been lied to. We all know it. We know, we don't know exactly how or when or where or why, but we know that somebody's not telling the truth. We can sense it. We have an intuition. When that becomes the driving spirit, the prevailing sentiment of the zeitgeist, when secrecy and lies and distrust are the prevailing result of government and the message, the communication, you have a crisis. You have a crisis. That crisis must be addressed. The messaging, it must be addressed. It must be addressed. We have to sort this out. We have to walk people through this step by step, meticulously. And it's like, you know, it's hard to get me to believe that if we're just going to blow the Middle East to hell and take the oil racket and redistribute it the way that we want to, or control it for our own strategic advantage, it just seems to me to be a far stretch that there's a high level of secrecy that goes into that. I mean, at least from the philosophical framework of, like, here's why we're doing this. Here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. You know, okay, China, China, it's not one belt, one road. It's one belt to ass. That's what we're doing. You're going to pay your weight in gold, and we built you. And so all the oil is going to run through America. And if you want to get froggy, then leap. Just come out and say that. I think we could actually say that, and we would have a much different zeitgeist here in our country, a much different political discourse. But hey, you know, that's just my opinion. I know for me, it would feel much better. But I get there's a certain level of secrecy that goes into war too. So you're watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after a brief break.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work, and I'll tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private-label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis, but not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research. and then go to the oliveshonestore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Enter Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber, lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs, cancel any time, $30 a month, get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I'm just hoping that we find a moment of clarity here, in the darkest hours our nation has ever seen. I was talking about the Chinese earlier, and, I've said before on the show that the disadvantage that we have in a asymmetric war with the Chinese is that we're a nation ruled by lawyers, corrupt lawyers, as a matter of fact, corrupt lawyers, and they're a nation ruled by totalitarian engineers, ethno-national totalitarian engineers. I mean, there's a reason why the war games, we always lose the war games held by the, played out by the Pentagon, is because things like that matter. A culture, a nation's culture, plays a role in any eventual outcome of military or kinetic conflict. I don't like being up against an ethno-national totalitarian, engineer regime, especially with just a bunch of finocchio lawyers. And that's what I was saying earlier about the eye test, the sniff test. of some of these people in the Congress and in the Senate. And it's just a matter of fact, like we talk a lot, American people talk a lot about being frustrated with the two-party system, frustrated with politics. And I'd be lying if I said that I don't feel the same way, because I do. That's part of the reason why I'm running for U.S. Senate. But I also see when you vote in incumbents 93%, you're really saying you don't care. You don't have a problem with the way things are. And I bring up China as just as a cautionary tale. In my opinion, the only way that China catches the car, the only way that China defeats us, you know, even in the long run, is if a Mamdani type of politician becomes president of the United States. And we're, I mean, being the mayor of New York City is a stone's throw from being the president of the United States. People have to understand the significance of being the mayor of New York City. It just in its scope and its public profile. And, you know, there is a communist cry for Mamdani, similar to Luigi, whatever his name is there, that shot the United Healthcare CEO and, you know, on the street in Manhattan. And keep an eye out for that case, because I see fireworks coming there at the perfect and opportune time to be another distraction from the real issue, secure elections, right? They're going to let this, you know, lunatic off. And, you know, you got Tyler Robinson out there. You got Charlie Kirk. I mean, you got a lot between now and the election. You got a lot of distractions out there to choose from, in terms of, you know, shifting the focus from where it should be. But one place we should be at least tracking is the only way China catches the car is if we elect a Mamdani as president or somebody similar. That's the only way that they actually catch the car and beat us in the long run, in my opinion. You know, or we could have a digital dystopia where, you know, China makes core components or essential parts and effectively they beat us in the AI arms race. That's possible. You know, it's less likely. I more see it as a danger, that we devolve from within with a Mamdani, as a president, or even an AOC. I mean, they're the same person, right? That's why they're doing the romance between jihad and Latinx, or whatever they call it these days, the jihad Latin alliance. It's one of those kind of people. It's like Gavin Newsom doesn't have a shot in hell at winning, and for the Democrats to even put him up as a nominee is kind of farcical, in my opinion. And they may do it. I mean, they may actually do it. It's just farcical. He's another mook. He's another fruitcake. I mean, he really is. Guys who hold their feet, guys who cross their legs under the table are fruitcakes. I'm just going to tell you. You know, maybe, oh, Royce, the ad hominem. So ad hominem, what does that do? You know, that's not mature. It's not statesmanlike. Dude, don't cross your legs under the table. Okay. Hold your legs. Sit like a man. You didn't even cross your legs. I don't even like guys who cross their legs in a chair. You know, at the most, you cross your legs down by the ankles. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? You cross your feet down by the ankles. You don't cross one leg over your lap like a, you know, come on. We got to go back to the basics here. Honestly, I say it jokingly, but I'm being pretty serious, actually. You know, our standard of men is just like in a crisis. It really is. Our standard of men is in a crisis in this country, and we want to fight wars. It's like you can have a Finocchio culture if you want to be like Switzerland or something, right? If you want to be a non-confrontational country, you can have a Finocchio culture. If you want to be a non-confrontational country, an egalitarian country that's subsidized by a much bigger power, of which you should be a tributary, but you end up being a sort of monarch. A monarch state, and all of the European Union are like a collection of monarch states. We're like the tributary to the EU. But in a right world, if you want to be an egalitarian, subsidized tributary, then you can cross your legs. You can have men that cross their legs, right? But if you want to be a badass global dollar empire, you got to have men who stand up straight, men who could, who can do some damage at the drop of a dime, men who are tough, who are gritty, you know, who like a little confrontation, you know? Then look what we've become, right? And we're afraid of the Chinese. I just think we are. I think we're afraid of the Chinese. I think President Trump's calling their bluff every time he gets the chance. I really do believe that. You can't really look at the geopolitics and not see that this latest move to blockade the blockade is President Trump, you know, calling President Xi's bluff. Now, the question is, when President Trump goes to visit, what kind of deal they come out with? And I would venture to guess, and this is just me, and this is a cautionary tale to you, Mr. President, I think that President Xi and the entire CCP believe they can, you know, I believe they think they can wait President Trump out. They can wait out the entire MAGA movement. All they have to do is wait long enough to get an AOC in the seat of power and have control of the government, and enough conservatives will abide by the corrupt rule of law to let this country slip right back into the position it was in. And things are better than they were. Don't let people tell you they're not. We can disagree, and we'd be right to disagree, and we should voice that. And Alex voiced that. He says, listen, I'm alarmed at what I'm seeing with this war and the direction of things. Praise be to God. He's supposed to do that. But we can't say that things aren't better than they were or they would have been. You know, it's like you're shot. Are you shot in the foot? Are you shot in the, you know, are you shot in the balls? Or are you shot in the head? There's a degree of severity there. And the same can be said for a country. Where are you shot? How much blood are you losing? Is a tourniquet even going to work? You know, these are things that just, as a matter of fact, you got to start to assess. And I think things are categorically better than they would have been, and than they were. But it's all for nothing if we let the Democrats win. And we have to make strategic choices about the issues that we hang our hat on. Like, for example, if we were just going to go to war anyway without any congressional oversight or any, which I said 7 weeks ago on the show, Thomas Massey still has yet to tell me the math on asking the Congress to do anything when it's captured by a foreign lobby or any special interest in lobby. If the Congress is captured, why ask the president to ask Congress permission to do anything? By default, that would be, that should rightfully be seen as an act of treason. If I know my Congress is captured by special interests and lobbies, and I think one of the first things we should think about doing, well, this would be a real tell too. I think a referendum issue should be special interests and lobbies. I think, you know, right alongside the Save America Act, we should bring a bill to the United States Senate before the midterms to put people on the record who really believes in getting money out of politics, special interests and lobbies. We should ban them across the board. You should see broad bipartisan support to ban special interests and lobbies, which you won't. You'll see very little support, which should be the great tale. And there'd be no way we vote in 93% of the incumbents or 94-95% of the incumbents in 2026. We have to get the message right. And it's right for people to say, it's right for people to go, we're alarmed. Not only are we alarmed at the prospect of us getting into another war for the kinetic implications, we're alarmed at what it signals. And if we weren't going to ask Congress for permission, why did we have to do this before the midterms? Why did we have to do this before the midterms and risk President Trump having his agenda stalled by the few, you know, several or so seats they need to swing a majority? Why risk that? It's like we had the perfect coalition. You can't argue with it. It was successful. It was successful. And, you know, President was at the UFC, and it's always good to see him at the UFC fight and good to see the response. It means that at least a portion of our country still has half a brain, right? But I remember him pulling up to the, you know, the UFC, and it was Tucker, and it was, you know, there was Rogan was there, and all of these people who are now like sort of persona non grata. It's like, okay, well, where's the math then? It's because the Christian Zion, and maybe the strategic, you know, the strategic thing here is, for once, we're going to try and pull on the low propensity Christians by using a Christian Zionist message. Maybe. Hey, I'm just, I didn't make the rules. I just work here. Okay. I'm just telling you the way things are. There is a significant, at least on paper, there is a significant low propensity Christian community all across this country. And maybe some people have made the decision. It's more advantageous for us, for our national security and everything else we want to do, to go after the Christian Zionist vote for once. Fine. But then how do you recruit a Michelle Tafoya who's pro-choice, publicly pro-choice? It's almost as if somebody in the bowels of Langley is calling the bluff of American Christians and saying, well, which one is more important to you, Israel or abortion? See, and it's right here in Minnesota. I can feel the spiritual implications of it. Which is more important to you Christians, Israel or life? Which one is more important, Israel or life? And you got to ask yourself, say, the conservative movement, what has been conserved? We didn't conserve the Second Amendment. We didn't conserve the First Amendment. We haven't conserved a pro-life. President Trump, improved the position. But en masse, we didn't conserve it. And it doesn't look like we intend to conserve it because, the NRSC, who's supposed to be the bastion of conservative Christian, Judeo-Christian values, just got to throw that in there. The NRSC, Tim Scott, Lindsey Graham, and the rest of the gang, they're all conserving the Judeo-Christian ethic, and they recruited a pro-choice candidate to run for United States Senate. Wonder how that'll go over when we have to vote in Supreme Court justices. So you don't plan on conserving pro-life. Is the Alamo Israel? Is the Alamo of the conservative movement Israel? Is that like the one thing we're going to dig our heels in and conserve? And you just got to ask yourself, like, okay. All right. I mean, I guess. I don't agree. I think it's a grave spiritual indictment of the conservative movement and Christians that Israel would be that another country, another country's problems or threats and dangers would be the Alamo, the rally point, the sort of red line of the conservative movement in America. But hey, fine. Let's see how hard you're willing to fight. I know you're willing to fight really hard over there. Let's see how hard you're willing to fight here in America. That's going to be a great tell. Right. Cause I mean, if we're willing to go all out, balls to the walls, we're going to fight a war. We're going to put ground troops there on Karg Island or wherever else in the name of Christ. We're going to fight our way to victory in the name of Christ, the world away. It's going to say a lot about this country's Christian community when we see how hard we're willing to fight here. And if I have to say, I do say so myself. The reason why I joined the movement and the reason why I ran as a Republican is because of my faith in Christ. My love of country, no doubt. And I love the country and I believe in the Constitution, but my faith in Christ is what made me join the conservative movement. Cause I woke up one day and to be a Christian or a Catholic was considered white supremacy. I'm pretty fair skinned, but nobody would mistake me for a white man. My last name is White, but nobody would mistake me for a white man. I woke up one morning in my mid-20s, actually right around the time George Floyd died, and I led this protest to the Federal Reserve, and I had people bow and pray, and a couple of days later, I ran into a few folks that gave me some insight about just how hostile the current political climate was toward Christianity. It's like, why isn't every conservative news outlet showing the Christians there in Ethiopia celebrating Easter? Why is conservative mainstream media, conservative Inc., why are they not replaying the Christians there in Ethiopia celebrating Easter Sunday and Good Friday by the tens and hundreds of thousands? Christianity was in Africa 250 years or so before it ever reached Europe. It's not a religion of white supremacy. Christ wasn't white. He wasn't white. He wasn't black. He wasn't this. He wasn't that. Christ is Christ. But he certainly did. We know where he came from. We know what his ethnic, you know, makeup was. Per the stories. I mean, we could say, and hey, you could make an argument that Israel, you know, that Nazareth and Jerusalem and that place in the Middle East was already, an intersection of a relatively smaller global economy or trade route. So there are plenty of people who were there in Israel, many different skin colors and pigmentations, but ultimately, you know, he was from Israel. Okay. Point being is, in what world do they get off saying that Christianity is white supremacy? That's how you got people like me. That's how you got people like me. That's how we're going to draw people in. That's how we're going to mend. That's how we can only mend the racial divide in this country through the gospel. We can only mend. Let me say it again for the people in the back. We can only mend the racial divide and animosity in this country through the gospel. But I don't think the conservative movement is willing to take the gospel anywhere for the most part. I don't think that the conservative movement is even upholding the gospel anymore. I think we're reaching a point where the gospel may in fact become canceled. I see a future where the conservative movement is actually the political movement that cancels the gospel. Is it anti-Semitic? Is the gospel anti-Semitic? Just go ahead and say it. Say it. Say the New Testament's anti-Semitic so we can get out of the way. A lot of these Christian Zionists are still going to fight for you anyway. Just say it. I mean, don't dance around it. You know, the New Testament is anti-Semitic. Just say it. Just go ahead and put it out there. And then we can watch all these Christian Zionists line up to die, for another country anyway. Cause they will. And I do think it's that bad. I think we have a nationwide, a cultural-wide metastasization of mass formation psychosis. I really do. And it's across the political spectrum. You can take any number of cultural wedge issues and show you exactly how crazy America has gone. I mean, batshit crazy. Is the gospel anti-Semitic? I see a future where we can't use the gospel to mend a racial divide or any other divides. We have trouble even deciding whether or not in the Christian community the gospel is still something that we value. Questions to answer. But if you go and fight a war and wrap yourself in the cloth of Christ, you sure as hell better have your spiritual house in order. Cause hell is the consequence if you don't. Just saying. You sure as hell better have your spiritual house in order if you want to drape yourself in the cloth of Christ to wage a war, because if you don't, hell is the consequence, and hell is real. Just as real as the resurrection, hell is also real. And there are a lot of people there, and there are a lot of people going. Sorry to say it. A lot of people going. A lot of people going who say they're Christian, too, by the way. Food for thought. Food for thought this Sunday evening. We can look, and all that being said, we can win. We can do this. We can win. I've seen it. I've been on that coach on the sideline, a bunch of 15-year-old boys. They all have their own agenda in mind, right? They all got their own plans. And, you know, you just got to call the time. You got to burn the time out every once in a while. Give me four. Come sit your ass down. Sit down. Breathe. You're all out of sorts. Breathe. Just breathe. Take a breath. Coach is going to chew you out, but take a breath first so you can hear what I'm really saying. What are the fundamentals? Let's go back to the fundamentals. Stay in front of your man. Can you stay in front of your man? No, you can't. So you get in there. Okay. You take a blow. You watch. Okay. Get yourself together because you got to go back in. Stay in front of your man. The help side is late. You're a step late, and a step makes a big difference. Get over there quicker. You have to rotate down and fill. When that pass goes out, you got to scramble. You got to scramble and close out, because this kid named Johnny from Indiana, he can shoot that rock. If you don't close out on him quick enough, he's going to spray your ass. Okay. Then I'm going to have to sub you out. And we got to run next week in practice because I just don't think you play hard enough. I don't think you want it bad enough. I don't think we want it bad enough. I think we have, and I'm talking politics now. I don't think we want it bad enough. I don't think we really want to change this country for the better. I think we know what's wrong. I think we have a lot of problems with the country, with the way things are. But I think the convenience is so good, we hesitate to really change it. I don't know. Tell me, am I wrong? Why does the American public vote in 93% of the incumbents? What other possible explanation can you give except we like that we like getting screwed. We love it. We crave to be subjugated. We crave tyranny. We crave tyranny, whether it's overt tyranny so the left can play their secular humanist martyrdom, or we crave like a subtle, sort of passive, you know, tyranny, economic tyranny, right? We crave wage slavery. We crave to be 19th century Russian serfs under a techno feudal empire. We crave it. We crave subjugation. Even our leaders, some of our leaders are like, bring on the technocracy. I'm like, whoa, hold on, dude. What? Time out. Let me burn another one. Wait a second. We can't be doing technocracy, are we? Okay, President Trump's divine appointment is to break the rules-based order. My generation, we have to take on the digital dystopia. We have to take on the technocracy. President Trump's 80 years old. Okay, he's 80. He's 80. What he's doing at 80 is nothing short of a miracle, honestly. I mean, just got to say that. Disagree or agree. It's nothing short of a miracle. The man's 80. We pushed the Overton window of what we expect from our elders well beyond an inappropriate place, as you can see from the Congress. You know, average age is 64 years old. Some people think you're in your prime. I don't. Our founding fathers certainly weren't at that age when they built this great nation. But we have to fight the technocracy. President Trump's got some key decisions in front of him. And I must say, I kind of like it. I think it's kind of gangster. All the oil's going to run. One belt, one road, done. Belt the ass is the new initiative, the American belt the ass agenda. And we're going to run all the oil. But then you have to double and triple down. We're going to actually run all the oil. No, nothing passes through unless America's getting a cut, a big cut. Okay. But in the end, we still don't like the Lindsey Grahams. Because a man named Lindsey, who talks the way that he does, is never going to lead this country to prosperity. It's been another episode of the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday night. It's been an honor to be with you again. God bless you all. God bless America. Godspeed. Have a great weekend. I'll see you at 7 a.m. The White House, Free People Radio.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. That's where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesshow.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesshow.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, We've had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, TheAlexShow.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at TheAlexShow.com, and I thank you for your support.